Welcome back. The Monsters of the Midday roll on as we welcome to the show Mr. Royce Young of ESPN. Royce, what's up, brother?
Not too much. Enjoying my time in Houston.
Enjoying your time in Houston. Oh, yeah, you're on top of that. That's serious.
Yeah, that's right.
Does he look as formidable as he did against Oklahoma City when those three-point shots are falling in over the top of him?
Very, very much so. Absolutely.
Were you able to listen in on Sam Presti's press conference today, Royce?
Yes, I was. I heard his 17-minute, I think, opening statement. I don't know.
Wow.
His opening statement was longer than anything I've ever written, so I was quite impressed with that.
What were your takeaways?
The
length.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the big takeaways is him, you know, confirming what I think we all really kind of knew, that Billy Donovan will be the coach next year. He talked about Carmelo Anthony, and I think Presti wisely stressed that, you know, I think it's important to kind of separate what Carmelo said at the end of the season at his exit interview versus how he handled himself during the season. I thought it was interesting that Presti basically kind of said that he'd like to see Russell Westbrook become a better three-point shooter. And that's something people within the organization have talked about a lot, that they see that's an area of improvement for Westbrook. And it's not to say that he hasn't and here's where I think that there's a separation there, is I think within Westbrook becoming a better three-point shooter, it's not about him just like straight up improving the skill. It's about him becoming a more discerning three-point shooter. And I think that that's going to be something that they try to stress. Because if you look at Dusty, when Russell Westbrook takes catch-and-shoot threes, he's a solid three-point shooter. The problem is you can't pass yourself a catch-and-shoot three. And Russell Westbrook does not receive a lot of passes. And so, you know, I think that that's going to be a focus, is trying to kind of work with Westbrook to figure out a way to get him to become a player that can work off the ball and catch it and shoot it a little bit more. So, I also thought it was reasonably interesting that Presti basically just straight up said, which I thought it was relieving to hear him say, that this was a disappointing season. They expected more from this team, and it was a disappointment.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty honest about that. I mean, I think that the theme for me, the biggest thing for me, was that I liked it where he said that the team, what they needed most to improve on was night-to-night consistency, and
mm-hmm.
that's clearly the case. I mean, you can hate all you want on that, but they got to win the games against the teams they're supposed to beat.
He
didn't really talk as much about the philosophy of moving the ball more, and they didn't really get into offensive sets and the type of offense and defensive things that need to change specifically. I'm not sure he would even gone down that road, but look, I mean, he's presenting his point of view and the team's perspective, and I didn't have a problem with really any of it, what he said today.
Yeah, I don't know that they're really that interested, Mark, and I know this is probably going to upset people, but I don't know that they're interested in necessarily a complete offensive overhaul. They kind of tried to do that with Scott Brooks. It didn't really go all that well. But, you know, I think that, you know, obviously you want better ball movement. You want a pass that leads to a better shot. You want the floor to be spaced well. But, like, I'm here in Houston watching a series with the best offense in the NBA, and all they do is ISO. And I think it can be a little bit overstated that you have to move the ball to create good offense in the NBA. And I think what it's about is smart player movement and quality spacing on the floor. Now, what makes the Rockets elite at what they do is they have two of the best one-on-one players in the entire world, in Chris Paul and James Harden. They can run the same high screen and roll, force a mismatch, and they spread the floor with elite shooters. It's a very straightforward system, what the Rockets are doing, but they just do it exceptionally well. And I don't know that the Thunder have the personnel to do that, so that's where I think you do need to create some, you know, ball movement and some player movement to do some of those things. But Russell Westbrook and Paul George are pretty good one-on-one players themselves. So I think that there can kind of – I don't think it has to be a complete transformation of the offense. I think it's like tweaking on the finer edges because, like I said the other day, Mark, the Thunder were fourth in offense after December 1st. They were a good offensive team. I think it's about trying to figure out a way that you can kind of redistribute to a higher level offense rather than just remake the whole thing.
Sam Presti spoke about Carmelo Anthony. We played the clip, they talked about them, you know, getting on the same page. I don't see how they get on the same page, to be honest, Royce, because Carmelo already basically said, you know, this is the way he sees himself. This is the way he wants to be used, and clearly that's not the way Oklahoma City is going to use him. So How does this thing unfold? What's about to shake out with Carmelo Anthony?
I think that there are three options in play, one less likely than the other. Option one, which is the least likely of all, is that you get a list of teams that Carmelo Anthony will say that he'll accept a trade to, and you deal him somewhere. I don't think that's likely, but that's one thing that could happen. Because, I mean, we're operating under the assumption here, Dusty, that he's going to opt into that $28 million. I think that we can all pretty much believe that's going to happen. You can cross your fingers and hope that Carmelo was so disgruntled that he's going to leave $28 million on the table, but that I just don't think that's going to happen. Option two is you use the stretch and waive provision, which is basically you take Carmelo's $28 million and you waive him and you spread it out on your cap for 3 years. And so they'd be paying him, you know, like $9 million a year, it'd be a $9 million cap hit over 3 years rather than one $28 million hit. That seems, I would be on the lower likely scale. I don't think that that's that likely.
Buyout.
And then the third thing is the buyout.
And try to negotiate it down to as small a number as possible.
Smaller number, and you could try to like kind of. It's similar to what happened with Dwayne Wade in Chicago. I think. I mean, you try.
Right.
He opts in. You talk a buyout. You try to get him to accept a lower number, and then you shake his hand, and everybody moves on.
The Ryan Russillo came out yesterday. Slam Magazine picked it up and said Paul George is out of here. There's no discussion.
Right.
There's no negotiation. He's gone. Then he said some very nice things about you. so look, we just
That's
thought we'd let you re- thought we'd let you respond. Sam Presti responded to it today by saying he talked to Paul George and he's going to leave it at that. So, what is your response?
Yeah, I think one of the things is about it is that it's kind of important to really understand the full context of what Ryan was saying, Mark. You know, and this is kind of what can sometimes happen when you know websites just aggregate news off of a podcast, is they lose the context of I think what was saying. And I think Ryan's point was is that if you talk to one person, that their perspective was is that Paul George is gone. And you know, in terms of who that source would be, I don't think that we know. I can tell you this: players gossip a lot, and they talk amongst each other, and they speculate, and they tell each other things. But Paul George has not told anybody where he's going. If I can, and I don't say this to discredit Ryan Russillo whatsoever. I love and respect Ryan Russillo, but I don't think that this would be coming back. I don't think Paul George on May 2nd would have told some other player that then told somebody that then told Ryan Russillo. That's not how this is coming out. Paul George has not made up his mind yet, and I can say that with a lot of confidence. So Paul George might be leaning towards leaving. I don't really know, but I don't. You know, I think it's more of a thing where it's kind of a gossipy players talk amongst each other, because Ryan Russillo even kind of said that. He said, I don't know what he's doing. It's just one person is kind of, this has been their perspective on it.
So it doesn't change. The other day you told us on Monday, 75% you think he's coming back. You still feel the same?
Yeah, I feel the exact same. I mean, again, as I got to stress though, Dusty, I mean, this is on May 2nd. I think, you know, this is close to the end of the season and things can change quickly. You got to kind of couch everything that you say, but you know, we haven't even gotten into the free agency recruitment process. We don't know what LeBron James is doing. So there's things that can change. Just as it stands right now, I think Paul George is far more likely to come back than he is to leave.
I got one more, Mark. Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
Obviously, they want to re-sign him. He's going to want to try to maximize in this contract, though.
Yeah.
Can they afford to keep everybody?
Yeah, they can afford it. And I think that's something Presti even kind of got into a little bit today. Is that, you know, when you look at the Thunder's payroll and their financial outlook and their situation over the last 10 years, they're in a position to where that they can take on a large luxury tax bill. Each dollar they spend over the cap is and over the tax threshold is going to be a monumental hit. But you know, I think some of it probably does have to do with Carmelo Anthony and kind of what happens there. You know, if you can get him to agree to a buyout and you reduce your tax penalty a little bit, maybe makes keeping Jeremy Grant more likely. From my perspective, Dusty, it played out, I think, to Sam Presti's favor, is one of the reasons they didn't pick up Josh Eustace's option is because they did not want to lock themselves into $2 million extra because they had an eye on keeping Jeremy Grant, and they wanted to apply that to keeping Jeremy Grant. So, you know, I think that they are absolutely working to keep Jeremy Grant, but the problem is he might have played himself into a market level that the Thunder can't afford.
It would have been a lot of bricks if they would have extended Eustace per dollar.
Yeah.
All right, how many games are Utah going to win in this series quickly? I got zero.
I've got them winning. I picked Rockets in six, and it feels more like Rockets in five, having watched game one. But I don't want to overreact to game one. But,
you're very nice to the Jazz, picking them to extend this to six.
Jazz is going to get one in Utah. Jazz is going to get one
really
in
like Salt Lake. Really like Salt Lake.
Salt Lake's a great city. It's a great city.
Are we going to lose you to Salt Lake?
I don't know. Maybe so. We'll see.
We got a story there. Maybe they could pick that up.
They got a Royce on their team. I mean, I've got a kinship with the Jazz already. You know? Team Royce.
Royce O'Neal, Royce Young.
That's right.
Watch out for Tim McMahon down there in H-Town, man.
Enjoy the humidity.
I'm trying to avoid him. I'm avoiding Timmy at all costs.
He's a wild creature. Hey, thanks, Royce.
All right.
Royce Young covering the Jazz and the Rockets series down in H-Town. Mark, I got to tell you, I don't want to argue with Royce.
You think Royce
Russell Westbrook does not need to work on his three-point shot, Mark?
Well, clearly
he's not
he
a good three-point shooter.
Needs to shoot less of them.
What the hell is he talking about?
He needs to work
on it. The guy's a 31% career three-point shooter.
It needs work.
He shot 29 this year. He shot 29 and 15. He shot 29 and 14. Last year he shot 34%.
Sounds like my
golf
game.
Come on, man. The guy doesn't need to work on his three-point shot. I don't know. If that's the main goal for Russell Westbrook in the offseason, to keep working on that three-point shot, that's pretty mind-boggling to me. Okay.
Game, and we will be back after these short messages on the Monsters.